Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
The beds were made, half the towels were there, but none of the glassware or cups, coffee cups or anything had been replaced. So I called down to the front desk and I asked if I could get replacement stuff. I'll come down and pick it up. It's, I know everybody's short-staffed, right? It's okay. No, Ms. Kaufman, no, we'll have somebody.
Welcome to Change Your Mindset podcast, where it's all about believing in and executing on different and innovative ways to strengthen both your leadership and communication skills to help increase your success, and especially in today's disruptive business environment. One of the most effective ways of building stronger leadership and communication skills is by embracing the principles of improvisation. Yes, that's right, improv. Your host, Peter Margaritis, is an improv virtuoso. He's also a certified speaking professional and a CPA, also known as the accidental accountant. Each episode of Change Your Mindset is designed to bring you different and innovative ideas, thoughts, and behavioral changes on a variety of differing topics, with the sole purpose of strengthening your critical soft skills. We may call them soft skills, but they are the hardest to master. And when we do, greater success and growth is the result. So jump in and start changing your mindset now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Change Your Mind podcast, where we explore the power of shifting perspectives to create a more fulfilling and joyful life. And today we have a very special guest who knows a thing or two about changing perspectives, Roxanne Kaufman. The Road Warrior has moved a whopping 22 times before graduating high school. That's more moves than people make in a lifetime. But don't worry, folks, she's not a professional fugitive or anything like that. Roxanne's had a nomadic upbringing. And as we all know, change is the only constant in life. And Roxanne has certainly had her fair share of it. Roxanne's nomadic tendencies didn't stop after high school. She's also been a business road warrior, traveling the country and possibly the world by planes, trains, and automobiles. As we all know, traveling for work can be both exciting and exhausting. Roxanne has a knack for it, and I'm sure she's picked up some valuable lessons and insights along the way. So get ready to buckle up, folks, as we hear from Roxanne about her experiences as a business road warrior and how she managed to maintain a positive and adaptable mindset despite all the challenges and changes that come with life on the go. But before we get to the interview, a few housekeeping items to take care of. Off Script, Mastering the Art of Business Improv is available for purchase on Amazon in paperback and Kindle. If you want to learn more about the book or order a copy, go to offscriptimprov.com and order your copy by clicking the Click to Order button. If you want to buy 10 or more books, please contact me so I can offer you a bulk discount. You can reach me through my email at peter@petermargaritis.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. Also, please subscribe to and share this podcast episode with a friend. Also, please visit my YouTube channel, Peter A. Margaritis, CSP, CPA, Biz Improv Virtuoso, where you can see previous podcast video episodes along with this one. While you're there, just hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any updates.
This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
This episode is sponsored by Peter A. Margaritis, LLC, also known as the Accidental Accountant. Are you looking for a speaker that can bring powerful content, virtually or in person or on site, that is memorable and engaging in a way that motivates and inspires your audience? Instead of data dumping and numbing with numbers, imagine your people and teams delivering a financial story to your stakeholders. A story that creates engaging and relationship-building business conversations. Would you be interested in learning more about how that is accomplished? How would you feel if the value your facilitator provided your organization far exceeded the dollar amount on their invoice? Peter Margaritis, CPA and certified speaking professional, delivers all of the above and much, much more. All of Peter's programs can be done virtually, in person and on site at your location, or at an off-site venue. Send Peter a note at peter@petermargaritis.com and or visit his website at www.petermargaritis.com to learn more about what Peter can bring to your next conference, management retreat, or workshop.
Let's get to the interview with Roxanne Kaufman. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm extending our conversation that I had on the last episode with Jennifer Elder. I've invited my very good friend, Roxanne Kaufman, to be on the podcast today. And Roxanne has been traveling all of her life, and you wouldn't believe how many times. So I'm just kind of leave it at that. So Roxanne, first and foremost, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to spend some time with me on the podcast.
Are you kidding me, Peter? I love talking with you on your podcast and listening to it all the time. It's always great. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. So you earlier in your life, prior to, let's say, the last 5 years, you probably traveled more than the average human being, or maybe a president of the United States. So can you share some of that with us?
I would say that's fair, and it's absolutely true. So I came from a traveling family, right? My dad was a salesman, and we went lots of different places. When I graduated from high school, we had moved 22 times. I just thought that was normal for a kid. I just thought that's what everybody did. I learned later in life that it wasn't, but it just kind of got in my blood, I guess. So I've always traveled and kind of roamed around and landed in different places. The real extensive business travel started when I went to work with a corporation out on the East Coast that was also had manufacturing headquarters in Germany. I was with them for 14 years. And the evolution of my role there turned into global travel constantly. I was going around the world. I was visiting 86 business units, several different contractors and partners we had throughout North and South America. I was all over the place all of the time. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember half the stories I could have told about that, but I know it was fun, and it was a huge learning experience. What I gained from that in terms of experience and knowledge and understanding, and how much smaller the world gets when you begin to travel like that, and you begin to see how we are all so much alike, no matter where we are, where we come from.
So I think it would be fair enough to say, I don't know the dates and times, but travel back when you were working for the global construction company, the way we traveled then and the way we travel today, are vastly different.
Vastly different. Yes.
And the way we dress is vastly different.
I never saw anybody in their pajamas. I can honestly say that. Back in the day, as you would say, no, I never saw anybody wearing their pajamas in an airport. And that's okay, I guess. You know, everybody wants to do their own thing. That's all right. Yeah. But yeah, there was that. The other part of it was, of course, as much as I traveled, and that was all on one airline at the time.
Oh, okay.
I booked it that way. So I was a million mile traveler. So it was very different for me because I was always upgraded. It was just all of that. So it was a good experience. And I did some runs back and forth to a lot of different places. And it was usually the same crew. Mm. So it was like they were an extension of my business family. I would get on, "Hey, Rox, how you doing, Captain?" You know, it was really neat. It was fun. It was fun to travel. The whole atmosphere was different, and it was just different. And a lot's changed. And yeah, now it's different again.
So, and we prior to us starting the conversation, there's a rule about when we talk about travel. If it's a good experience, drop brand names everywhere. If it's a bad experience, keep it as generic as possible.
Absolutely promise. So the good airline no longer exists. It was Continental. Okay. I flew Continental all the time around the world, everywhere. And they were fabulous. And as to the rest, I won't mention any names.
Did Continental merge in with American or United?
United.
United.
Yeah, it was United.
Yeah, that seems like just yesterday, but that was many years ago.
It was many years ago, right. And so I was Cleveland-based about halfway through that career with the company. Yeah. I came back to Cleveland just because my parents were here and I wanted to be closer to them. They were getting older. And then so we lost the hub. We had a Continental hub here in Cleveland. And that became very challenging with travel once we lost that, for me anyway.
So now, and over the last 5 years, you continue to travel and you travel a lot. So do you have any interesting stories to share?
Well, let's see. There was yes, just about a bazillion. But there's one that's quite recent that I will share. And this was one of the most interesting and unique experiences I have ever had in all of my travels, all of my life. So no one will be mentioned by name, not airports, locations, or airlines. So I was flying on a connection, which is about the only way we can right now out of Cleveland. It's okay. Right. I was leaving here, making a connection in another huge hub, and then going on to another location. And so it was a very early morning flight. I was up about 5 o'clock in the morning, went to the airport about 6:30, got there, no problem. Got into the exchange airport, and that flight was delayed a little bit going into my final destination. So I had to wait for that. So while I was waiting, it was very, very busy, lots of people. I got a call that the program that I was doing had to be postponed. It was an emergency thing, had to be postponed at the last minute. No problem. I'll just go. I'm back to Cleveland. We'll reschedule. So we rescheduled right then and there. No problem at all. So I go to the gate. Well, they can't help me. The flight's delayed. I said, can you get my luggage? No, I'm sorry. I can't do anything about that. We don't handle that. So I had to go to another customer service area where I waited 45 minutes only to hear that, I'm sorry, we can't help you with that. There's a bank of phones over there, by the way, that had about this much dust and grime. And it was very interesting. You have to pick up that phone. I'm going to try to make this as short as I can because this could go on and on. Picked up the phone, and on the other hand end, I heard, hello, this is airlines. Hello. And I couldn't understand a word they were saying. They were talking on a cell phone that didn't work or was breaking up or whatever. So I just finally hung up and I called, which I should have done in the first place, the emergency number of the airline. Mm-hmm. Told them what my problem was. And they said, no worries. I'm going to put you on hold for a little bit and I will get back to you. I will find your luggage and I'll find you a different flight home. I said, great. 90 minutes later.
90?
90 minutes later, 1 hour and 30 minutes later, this person came back on the phone and said, well, I found your luggage and it's on its way to your final destination. Great. There are three flights returning back for you today. All of them are overbooked. But I have you on standby for each one. All you have to do is walk down to the end of the concourse and wait. The first one is in concourse XYZ. The second one is in concourse ABC. And that's in a completely another universe than the one that I just. And these were all mid-afternoon to late afternoon flights. The third one is at 11:30 tonight. So, of course, that's the only one that I got on. But I certainly did, you know, get my steps in that day. Right? So I stopped to have a bite to eat after I knew I wasn't getting on anything till 11:30. Had a bite to eat, made my way to the gate, and knew that I had gotten something that went sideways. Food poisoning.
Oh.
I mean, come on. Really, universe? Come on.
You're hitting the trilogy here of a bad travel nightmare.
So to end the agony of this entire saga, I finally did get back to Cleveland. I got here about, 1:30 in the morning. Thank God some airline agents were still there. I went over. They tracked my luggage. They said they'd get it tomorrow sometime and drop it off. So I went to the taxi stand. Well, there are no taxis at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't even get an Uber home. So I'm dialing all the taxi cabs, trying to get somebody. It was another 30 minutes. So at 2:30, a taxi picked me up and took me home, and I got home at 3 o'clock on Tuesday morning. I had left at 6 o'clock on Monday morning.
Wow.
So, can you imagine? I mean, when it starts falling, man, the dominoes go.
You know, I've had some travel nightmares, nothing quite like that.
It was the poisoning that really kind of did me in. The flight attendants were wonderful. They were so helpful. They were just really, they said, you do what you need to do. We're right here. We'll help you. And, you know, just, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. But I think for a lot of non-business travelers, they would run into something like that and they'd lose their noodle and they would lose, their head would explode. Mm-hmm. And maybe even to a point that they would yell at flight attendants, yell at gate agents.
No.
And then get back and, you know, get their typewriter out and write a typewritten letter to the president of the airline, you know, using all kinds of language and swearing that they're going to just drive from now on and never experience an airplane again.
Right.
How did you not do that? Or maybe you did do that and you haven't flown since.
I did not do that. I would never do that under those circumstances. None of this. I mean, their customer service was terrible.
Yeah.
Really, really failed in that regard. But I also understand, I mean, we got to understand the times we're in right now. There aren't enough staff working anywhere, right? And just all of that. And yes, I was miserable. And yes, I was just trying to keep myself together, absolutely. But I would never take that out on another human being. It wasn't their problem. It was mine. I would have loved to have, you know, pound a wall or a pillow or something. There wasn't any of that available. So you just don't, you know, you just kind of have to take it all in stride and realize this stuff happens. It was the most traumatic experience that I've had flying anywhere. And I was glad that I had the week booked, that I didn't have anything I had to follow up on immediately after that. So I had a few days to gather myself together again. So it was okay. It's a great story now. I just tell it and laugh. Okay, what else could happen? I guess the plane could have fallen out of the sky, but it didn't. So you know what? And I got home safe and sound, and I got my luggage. It was all good.
I guess the worst thing that could happen is, as on your flight back, you run into some pretty unruly turbulence versus coming out of the sky.
Yeah, there was some, but it wasn't egregious turbulence. It was mediocre, but it was just enough to, you know, keep me on my toes, so to speak.
Have you ever been on a flight with pretty bad turbulence?
Yeah, actually, I was in a flight that almost crashed. It was years ago. I was flying from, I think it was Chicago into Buffalo, New York. And we got caught in a blizzard that was coming in. They tried to get this plane out and into Buffalo. We came through a blizzard. And I mean, we were dropping hundreds of feet and going back up and coming back down. The plane's going like this the whole, I knew I was dead. It was the last plane that landed in Buffalo for days after that. And we were lucky to get down alive.
I think I'd rather have food poisoning.
I would too, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I've experienced some bad turbulence, and you hear about, especially some overseas flights, again, to really bad turbulence. But I'm not an engineer. Do I play one on a train or even on TV or nothing like that? But there must be something, the way how the plane is designed, that it can withstand that type of stress on the frame to maintain itself.
You know, it's funny you say that, Peter, because I had an uncle at the time. He's passed now, but I called him a few days later and told him about this. He was in the Air Force. He was a fighter jet pilot.
Okay.
And I asked him about that, and he explained to me that planes are built that it feels terrible when you're in it. But the plane is balancing on all the air. And he went through all of the technical explanation. I don't remember what, but it really did make me feel better. He said, you really don't have much to worry about. It takes a lot to bring a plane down just with turbulence. They said they are built to withstand that.
Yeah. And I think that's something I keep trying to remind myself when I'm in the middle of some pretty gnarly turbulence going, this thing is not going to crash. We're just going, okay. Well, exactly. All right.
Grab your stomach and bring it back down.
Exactly. And make sure you get your seatbelt on.
Yeah. And your heart over your foot. Crazy. Yeah.
So, do you have any fabulous stories about traveling that was just, you know, whether it's a plane, whether it's a hotel, whether it's a dinner?
I do.
Okay.
Several years ago, my sister and my niece and I took a train trip.
Ooh.
They came in from Massachusetts. I'm trying to think of it. Springfield. They got on the train in Springfield and I met them in Chicago. It doesn't matter. Anyway, we met in Chicago and went out to Sacramento, California on the train. So it's a couple nights, a couple days. It's the most fabulous way to travel for me. I love it. We had little sleeper cars. We had private sleeper cars. And going to the dining car and just watching you go across America and you can go north and go south. You know, I find it very relaxing, very enjoyable. And I take all my journals and my books and you just kind of cave in. And it's just the most relaxing and the most fun time. Even if you do it by yourself. I mean, of course, we had a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. It's just a wonderful experience. And you meet some very unusual and interesting people along the way. And it's fun. It's like it's old world stuff because of the porters and the way they take care of you. And just the whole atmosphere and the protocols of train travel. It's really cool.
I've never taken a train trip like that. I mean, I've ridden Amtrak on the East Coast because it's a lot easier. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But my buddy, John Kelly, the chief people officer at White Castle, he took a train trip from Vancouver, Canada, all the way across Canada, but about halfway. And what he posted on Facebook, and he still talks about this day, that's something I would love to do, is take a train trip across anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, I will definitely do it again.
So how was the food?
It's wonderful. I think it's great.
Better than airplane food in the main cabin?
Yes. It might not be better than airplane food in first class. It depends. It depends upon the airline and it depends how long you're on the plane and all that. But they do a great job. They have chefs on the trains, just like the chefs that prepare the food for the airlines.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really quite fun.
It's cool.
Yeah.
That would be fun. So we've talked about business travel but is there a favorite place that you like to go to vacation?
Well, to vacation, I haven't done a lot of vacationing in my life. You know, I've traveled so much for business that it's always kind of blended in. You know, I would go in a weekend before. Loved going out to Nevada and Arizona when I was traveling for business. I would go out there and spend time. It was great. As far as cities to go play in and have fun in, absolutely Boston and Chicago are my favorites. Love doing that. But as far as vacation travel, I love going to the United Kingdom. I love going overseas. I haven't done that in a while. I have another trip planned coming up to do that again, which will be lovely. Looking forward to it. I don't really have a favorite. It kind of depends. There's places I want to go that I've never been. So that'll be fun.
But you're Irish. Haven't you been to Ireland?
No, thank you for, yes, I did. I did go to Ireland several years ago. Yeah, it was great. I loved it. I want to go back.
What was the best part of Ireland?
The pubs.
I'll keep throwing you softballs.
No, it wasn't. All that was great. It was really the people and just the countryside. It's a beautiful, beautiful country. It's just amazing. And I love the people. And, you know, you get little one-lane roads everywhere you go. And it's just navigating the whole place and learning about the culture.
So when you do travel for vacation or overseas or whatever, do you still maintain the business traveler's mindset?
No, not when I'm traveling for personally. I'm not sure what you mean by business mindset.
Well, my business, I still try, when I travel for vacation, I still have that business mindset. Get out of my way. I got a place to be. quit walking down the concourse at Atlanta Hartsfield Airport, a family of 30, and you're the block in the way that I got to get from A to B.
Yes, absolutely. That is a constant. Yes. That's just why people stop dead in the middle of a concourse and think they're the only person there. I just will never really get that, but that's okay. And people who are talking on their cell phones as loud as they possibly can and having private conversations and business conversations. Okay, well, I'll just look at it as entertainment, I guess. I just don't understand.
Oh my God, there's this guy I got upgraded to first on a flight on Delta coming back into Columbus. And this guy had on Bose noise canceling and he was using that to talk. He was using that to talk with, and everybody in first class could hear everything he was saying, but he couldn't hear himself. And then at some point he took the headphones off and I actually said, could you not wear the headphones? Because we're hearing everything you're saying and we really don't want to hear your conversation. And he took offense to that. Nobody else took offense to that, but he took offense that I said something to him. Oh my God.
Let me tell you something along those lines. So back in my big travel days with the global corp, I was coming back from a huge global trade show. And, you know, all of our competitors are there, you know, all friends and family, of course, but they're competitors. I'm riding back and there are two fellows sitting behind me talking in their loud voices about all of their new product launches that are coming up, all of their finances, all of their inner business stuff. And I thought, oh my God, if this isn't competitive intel, and I said, I can't. So I got up and I leaned over the back of the seats and said, I told them who I worked for. Yeah. I said, guys, you probably don't want me to know everything you're talking about. I promise you, I'm not going to use it. I promise you, I just heard way more than you want me to know. I'm not going to use it, but you got to stop talking now. They were mortified. Really, think about it.
Okay, so could you tell if they had a few cocktails?
Of course they did.
Okay. Just making sure.
Constant at those things. That's all they do, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So besides the two guys, have you ever sat by somebody on a flight that you didn't know? And by the time you get off the plane,
your best friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I do that when I'm on layovers too. You sit down, you know, have a cup of tea or a glass of wine or a good bourbon or something. And somebody will sit down. I have so many cards from best friends I've met doing that. Yeah.
I was on a flight from Atlanta to Columbus and got upgraded first, sit next to this guy. His name is John Barlow. And John and the flight attendant came by and said, would you like anything to drink? And I said, you first. And he goes, I'll take a Woodford on the rocks. I went, I'm having what he's having. So, knowing that he's a bourbon guy.
Yeah.
And we started talking about bourbon and stuff. And we went into life. And I said, do you have any kids? He goes, yeah. I said, how old? And they were younger than Steven. And he goes, oh God, he asked me a question. And I had this really funny comeback to him. He goes, yeah. I said, you know, they get to an age. Kids get to an age, you know, and I cross my fingers like this. You know, when they're really young, we're just, you know, we'll be the best buds because I'm the smartest, dad's the smartest person in the world. Then they grow up a little bit and they're kind of like still think we're cool, but they're not as that. And then when they get to be 12, and I went like this, and for those of you watching the TV, basically I just gave the bird. He said, that's how I felt from 12. It's probably sometimes even to 22 right now. I thought this poor guy was going to lose his mind. He was just laughing hysterically. He stopped and goes, were you kidding? I went, no, there's some truth in that.
Absolutely. I love it.
And actually, I stayed in contact with him for about a year or so after that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it happens. Sure.
Have you sat next to somebody who's just absolutely bat crap crazy?
Oh, yeah. And won't stop talking, wants to like know everything about you and certainly wants you to know everything about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually say, I'm so sorry. I planned this time to get some work done. You know, I'll be gracious to let them talk for a little bit. Yeah. But no, that's insane. I did meet a gal one time, though, when I was doing my Las Vegas runs. That was for conferences, not for gambling or playing. She was one of the concierge at the MGM, and we stayed there when we went out there. So we got to be best buddies, and she would upgrade me for years after that. Every time I went out, all I had to do was call her, and she would upgrade me to a suite.
Oh, nice.
Oh my God. Everybody was so jealous. So I had this huge suite in Las Vegas that, like, on the top, not the top floor, but on the high floor of the MGM. It was amazing. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Yeah, I met one of the restaurant, coming back from Vegas, I met one of the restaurant owners. I can't remember what the name of the restaurant is. And we just sat there and talked through the whole trip.
Yeah.
And he said, next time you can, I've got it written down somewhere. It's in my phone. He says, just give my name and they'll take care of you. And I haven't been back to Vegas since.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Huh.
There's some interesting stories that we have when we fly and the people that we meet. And you know what? There's also the kids sitting behind you that's screaming his or her brains out. And they were just going, and people around are just getting so upset. When he was 6 months, 7 months old, I had upgraded myself to first class with him. We were going to Florida, and he did not like the flight. We were flying from Columbus to Detroit, and he was screaming. He's screaming the whole way.
Oh no!
And just on the phone, because the pressure in his ears. He's like Curly O'Neill from the Three Stooges on the floor.
Right. Yeah.
And everybody except for one person was really gracious because they all experienced it. And when I tried to get off the flight, when I was walking off the flight, I tried to get my luggage because I was going to drive back to Columbus and not put anybody through the trip. And luckily, the people in Detroit were very nasty and wouldn't let me get my luggage and told me how to continue to fly down. So this is 20 some odd years ago. And when I landed, it was rough. And I just looked at my mother and I went, he's yours for a while.
Goodbye.
I'm going to go find a bottle of something to pour myself into it right now. I mean, my hair was all over the place. It was.
Yeah. That's hard. I don't get upset with baby stuff. You can't. Babies are babies. They do what they do. And the poor parents, they can't. Just take earplugs.
Right. When I see the poor parents' face, especially if they're right around me, I'll go, you know what? My kid did this one time too. So don't, everybody knows what you're going through. It's okay. You're not.
Yeah. I'm going to start carrying a package of earplugs and just get up and hand them out to people. If we've got one on, just make sure nobody complains.
So as we wrap up, do you have any, you said you're leaving soon for someplace.
Mm-hmm.
So is that business or is that pleasure?
No, that's just that's a personal trip that I'm taking to go visit with some family.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking it. Is it international flight?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I hope you got upgraded.
I did. I did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Looking forward to that one.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful, uneventful, on time.
Thank you. So do I. Yeah. It should be fine.
When usually I get to a location and go, how was your trip? I like to go. It was very uneventful.
It was very uneventful. That's right.
The plane took off. The plane landed. It was on time. Everything was cool. Nobody lost their mind. And my luggage made it safely.
And that's the way we wanted to. So do I have a few minutes to tell you just one other story? And it's not about a flight. It's about a hotel.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because this one is like one for the record books. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I stay at this hotel all the time on one of my business trips. It's a place I go regularly. And there were just a series of things that were taking place that were just not, it was just, it was, forgetfulness on the part of the staff. It was just not paying attention to things. There's loud music playing all night. It was supposed to have been turned off. There were just things that were happening, right, that were just being very disruptive. So I got back to my room after a very long day of meetings, and it had been partially cleaned. So the beds were made, half the towels were there, but none of the glassware or cups, coffee cups or anything had been replaced. So I called down to the front desk and I asked if I could get replacement stuff. I'll come down and pick it up. I know everybody's short staffed, right? It's okay. No, Ms. Kaufman, no. We'll have somebody come up right away and take care of that for you. And I said, thank you. So 15, 20 minutes later, there's a tap at the door. This is the truth. I do not exaggerate. I open the door and there's a man standing there with an apron tied around his waist. And he's holding a plastic spray bottle with blue liquid in it and a towel.
Oh, okay.
And I said, oh, thank you. You're here to help me with some of the room things, the service of the room. And he just shook his head. So he came in and he starts looking around. And I said, the glasses and the cups and stuff are right there. And he doesn't say a word. So he walks over and he picks them all up. And I think he's going to walk out and bring in fresh replacements. He goes into my bathroom. He starts washing the glassware and the cups by hand with Windex or whatever was in this bottle. Now, it's 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. I have to go to a dinner. What do I do with this? This is weird. A strange man wearing an apron with blue spray and a towel is washing dishes in my bathroom sink. So I fall over laughing. This is so ridiculous. Or what? I certainly am not going in the bathroom after him. It's like, that's too weird. So he comes out with all the clean glassware. And I said, thank you. Had I known you were going to wash the dishes, I would have been happy to do that myself. You really didn't need to do that. And he just shakes his head and he starts to walk out. And I said, excuse me. I said, do you have any coffee for the morning? He walks out. He props my door open, leaves it open. And he leaves for like another 10 minutes. And then comes back. The spray bottle is not with him anymore, nor is the towel. This is a good thing. He reaches in his apron pockets and he pulls out these pods for this like Keurig machine or whatever. And he starts putting them all in the drawers and everything. I said, thank you very much. It's good. I'm good. I got this. It's okay. And he left. I did talk to the manager about this at the hotel. And they did refund some of the room charges. It was just, if anybody has ever had that experience, I'd like them to send a note to your podcast and say, yeah, I had that happen. I've never heard of such a thing before.
I've never heard such a thing either.
I went to dinner that night. My colleagues were all sitting around and I ordered a cocktail. We sat down and I said, I have to vet the story. I don't know what to do with this. They were all on the floor. They were just falling out over this. They were laughing so hard. So that's just bizarre.
It must have been his first day. And when they said, take to room 1412, clean glasses. He said, all he heard was, I need to go clean the glasses.
I think that's right. So anyway, that was just one of the most bizarre. So thank you for giving me a few extra minutes to share that. That one is just hilarious.
Oh my God, what a way to end the podcast.
So there you go. I had a dishwasher in my room.
You can't even make that stuff up.
You can't make it up. Peter, you can't make that stuff up. No.
Uh-oh. Oh my God. Oh, my stomach's
So there you go.
That has to be the all-time funniest travel story I think I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. I know. Crazy.
I hope for my audience who's listening that you're not driving while you're listening to, especially this last story. And if you are, I hope you pulled off the side of the road. You might have wrecked. Roxanne, I can't get that out of my head. I cannot unsee that.
Right. I know. Yeah.
I can't thank you for taking time out of your day.
It's my pleasure always, Peter. I always love these stories. I love sharing stories with you.
Oh my God, that's priceless. That's priceless. I look forward to the next. Well, hopefully the next time we get you back on the podcast, we can find Brian somewhere.
Brian Comerford. Still on the milk carton.
Yeah. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, it's not so much of an inside joke, but on season 6, episode 1, I was trying to get Brian, Roxanne, Nick, and myself together, because every time we do this, it's an absolute blast. Well, we couldn't find Roxanne or Brian. And so Nick had done a virtual background and put their portraits on milk carton bottles because we couldn't find them.
Have you seen the person?
Yeah. And milk carton musings with Pete and Nick.
It's hilarious. Absolutely. It was so funny. Well, thank you, Peter.
Oh, thank you. And I look forward to the next time our paths cross.
Yeah, me too. Thanks so much. Take good care. Safe travels, uneventful travels to you.
Yes, safe, uneventful travels for you too.
Thank you very much.
I would like to thank Roxanne for sharing her travel stories, especially the one about her own in-room glass washer. That one is a classic. Remember, folks, there are people who prefer to say yes, and there are people who prefer to say no. Those who say yes are rewarded by the adventures they have, and those who say no are rewarded by the safety they attain. Be a yes person, and thank you for listening.
Like what you just heard, visit c-suiteradio.com. C-Suite Radio, turning the volume up on business. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.